Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, we're up. I was explaining to you guys my Southwest strategies.
Yeah.
Where apparently Southwest Airlines is supposed to be going to assigned seating sometime.
We were talking about that as we were boarding our flight yesterday. So
this all might be moot going on into the future. I don't want to give away a bunch of my secrets, but one of the secrets at least is if you're sitting in one person in the aisle, one person on the window, and people are still boarding, to really look as big and menacing as possible.
Yeah.
You want to make it look uninviting.
Yep.
You want to kind of scowl at people.
Yeah.
And,
Trust me, you got no problem with that.
They're
frightened of me when they walk down that aisle, I tells you. Yeah.
But then immediately, unless it's really starting to fill up, because you want to get the intel first and ask the flight attendant how many empty seats there are. If it's really starting to fill up and it looks like you're probably going to be screwed, then you got to hedge your bets and then look very inviting to the smaller people.
To the tiny people.
To smile at them and everything as they come by.
We had this exact conversation yesterday, our boss Parker and I, because we sat down. I sat aisle. He sat window in the same row. And they told us multiple times on the overhead speaker that it was a full flight.
Yeah.
So we already kind of had the intel you're talking about. We kind of had it already. Like, we knew someone's going to be sitting here.
Yeah.
And we just kind of let it go. Although we did jinx ourselves by saying, it'll probably be some guy who's like 6'5", 280.
Yeah.
And sure enough, dude, this guy was every bit of 6'5", if not taller.
Yeah.
Not 280, but not light either. Mm. And he's like, you mind if I sit here? And I'm like, oh. I felt bad for Parker because he was wedged up against the window. Like, I'm on the aisle.
Yeah.
You know, so I at least have a little room to breathe. Now, the strategy Amy and I use, we're flying a United flight up to Boston at the end of May. We're going up to visit Judy and Charlie up there. And we're picking our seats. And I never go, like, business or first class or anything. It's just too pricey. So we're in the economy. But we're picking our seats. We pick aisle seats across from one another, like across the aisle from one another, rather than pick the same row and then have somebody pick the seat in between us.
Yeah.
So that way we can at least lean across and talk to each other if we want to.
I always just like that Brandy's going to sit in the middle seat, and I'm going to have the aisle seat, and we'll be next to each other, and we'll be just fine. At least
Are you just fine? Have you asked her if she's just fine?
I'll be fine is the whole point.
You'll be
there.
Fine, yeah. And that's the key. Yeah. All right, so the Astros still kicking around the possibility of a Nolan Arenado trade. As of right now, according to Chandler Rome, Arenado has not changed his stance. Arenado, third baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, multi-time All-Star, Gold Glover. He's phenomenal. He's great. He was great. He's still pretty good. But the Cardinals are looking to move on from him. He's looking to move on. The Cardinals are not going to be a very good baseball team this year. And so they've had a number of trade talks with various teams throughout the offseason. Has not resulted in anything. It looks like the Yankees are going to settle on an in-house solution at third base. They don't appear to be in on Arenado. So if he's looking for a team, that has a need at his position that could compete for something, he needs to change his mind pretty soon.
And where he might want to really spend the next 3 years.
Right.
I mean, because we've been looking at it through that prism of like, all right, look, if he really wants to go somewhere that at least has a chance to be a quality team, go to the Astros. Boy, we're in just a different position than we've been in for a long time. He could also, though, be thinking, well, I'll wait and see what happens next year. You know, like, I'll bide my time. I like it here, whatever, and just maybe
I'll
next
just
year
one
that opportunity.
Season, not winning anything.
And maybe the Astros have proven themselves by that point.
Yeah.
And then that's where I'll go.
And I guess some of that may come down to how badly do the Cardinals want to move him. The big thing is he's got total control over this.
Yeah.
He's got a no-trade clause.
The deal at the time, as it was reported a couple months ago, was that the Cardinals would be paying $15 to $20 million of his salary. The Rockies are already paying $10 million of the salary. So the sum total of it all would be the Astros would get 3 years, $40 to $45 million, which is a pretty good deal for a guy like Arenado.
Absolutely.
For 3 years.
Absolutely. And here's the big thing it would do, and this is what I tease into the segment, just in thinking it through. The Astros, it seems like, Seth, for really since this run started of dominance, they've always had at least one guy, one primary guy that is – and I'm talking like, you know, everyday line. It always feels like there's been some drama swirling around. Is he going to be here next year? Is he not going to be here? That, like, you know, 2020, it was – after 2020, it was Springer, gone. After 2021, it was Correa, gone. Last couple years, it's been what's going to happen with Tucker? What's going to happen with Bregman? And then you get the bad signing of Jose Abreu plunked down, and everybody wanted him gone after 1 year. You get Nolan Arenado, and at least in your everyday lineup, like the primary guys are around for a while now.
Yeah.
You know, like it's Arenado's there for 3 years. Pena's in his first year of arbitration. He's still got three more years of team control. Jose Altuve's going to be here forever. Christian Walker's on a three-year deal. Yiner Diaz is still in his early years with multiple years of team control.
Yeah.
Yordan Alvarez is signed till 2028. You know, like you've got.
I like the way you went around the infield there, like as if Jose Altuve was still a second
baseman.
That's
still how I think about it.
I know.
And I miss Paredes.
That's what I was expecting to say.
Yeah.
Paredes at second base.
Yeah.
Which, and with a lot of that, too, you bring in Arenado, and all of a sudden.
Paredes, 3 years of team control.
Yeah. So you bring in Arenado, and you've got 3 years of control with him. Very, very good defensively.
Yes.
So it's not as big a drop-off from Bregman to Arenado defensively as it is with Paredes. And then Paredes gets to just be a good hitter, but it's not as much of a defensive – I don't want to say he's a liability. He's just not – he's not Bregman.
Right.
At second base, you don't have to worry about it. That would feel pretty good. And then as you develop some of the younger guys, there you go. We're off to the races.
Yeah, you're off to the race. Now, you know, then the like if we're just taking the team in its totality, then the one guy – that is this year's version of that would obviously be Framber, you know, and I'm not super confident they're going to get a deal with Framber. If Framber is smart, then he should want deals like what Max Fried was getting this offseason. Like there's guys better than Framber that have been getting some big long-term deals in that pitching realm, but at least with the everyday lineup, you know, you feel pretty good and they're going to be, you know, look, they're Framber's here this year. Maybe they do get something done. Maybe they don't. But the bottom line is they will get some guys back from Tommy John here, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Christian Javier, and you're going to have a ton of money off the books next year, too, to go get guys if you want to go shopping.
Well, in the pitching, too, especially, that's where you're going to have to separate yourself. I think the days of the Astros being a record-setting offense, that's been a spell now since we're there. The pitching, perpetually, partly because of the way the Astros – the develop pitchers and the guys they already have out there right now, that's where your hopes are. That Blanco in coming off a season where he pitched way more innings than he ever had before in Major League Baseball, if he can look like he did in the first half of the season, that's great. Spencer Arrighetti, Arrighetti figured some things out last year. There's an article in the Chronicle this morning about Arrighetti and just him. What was he saying? That he used to – He came in thinking he could just beat guys with his stuff and just have all this electric stuff. And then he realized, like, okay, guys just aren't swinging at
it's
my
a
stuff.
Chess game.
Yeah. Guys in the major leagues are not impressed with all
Checkers
of your magnificent stuff.
Yeah.
They just stop swinging.
That's right.
And you're going to be walking, dude. So, and you saw that growth in him.
No doubt.
You realize, I mean, he struggled with control at times, but – you know, when he made that switch to realizing he had to throw strikes, because there was for a while there when he was really struggling, it looked like he was just trying to flirt with the edges. And
yes.
And if you're not pinpointing doing that, at some point you got to throw some strikes.
Yep.
And he realized that, and he became a more professional pitcher. He also – he did a much better job of riding out the bad innings and getting himself in some rough spots. He fought his way out of it. So I'm optimistic about him this year. He's a little bit of above 4.0 ERA last year, and I could totally see him working down to be a 3.0 ERA
guy. Sub 4, yeah, for sure. But that Arenado deal would be nice, man. It'd be nice not to have to – be nice to be able to, like, kind of pencil – you get one more outfielder maybe that provides some stability there. So that would be really good if they could get that deal done. And that's obviously something we're keeping an eye on here in West Palm Beach as we roll on through this week. Hey, we got a funny thing yesterday. Not funny for Pedro Leon so much because it involves discomfort, but we had our first report on Pedro Leon yesterday who was scratched. He of course, majority of last year in Sugar Land, got a little bit of time with the big club. Pedro Leon has discomfort in his left knee. We have our first discomfort of the 2025 season.
Oh, boy.
Baseball is back.
Astros.
Baseball is back.
Hey, somebody I know who lives in Colorado was my my brother. My brother is that person. I was trying to figure out whether I was going to say who it was or not. But he lives in Colorado. And my nephew Wes had wanted to listen to the show, so they were listening. And they were listening to the Arenado talk. And the basic feel I'm getting is that, like, yeah, he's not surprised that Arenado is being kind of tempestuous about whether or not he wants to come to Houston.
They've seen this movie before.
He has a little bit of a diva element there, too. Yeah, very, very good, but he senses a sort of diva type, too.
I like that.
Not diva. He's saying, I think, colorfully, my brother's not a baseball insider or anything, but he's like a hot, hot bipolar girlfriend.
Okay.
So you're like, oh, she's so hot, but my God, she's a pain in the butt, but she's so hot. Yeah.
She's a lot. Is he okay once you get him in the building? Like, once you're in the – like does he settle down at some point, did they say? Or is he
my
always...
brother's opinion is that he got worse in St. Louis. That he was he got less hot. He was just as bipolar, but just not
may
as
may not
hot.
Be worth all that?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah.
He was really hot in Colorado.
Yeah. So that's just our report from our man on the street in Colorado.
In Colorado? I like that. I didn't think we were going to get a Colorado perspective on
If Houston ever gets a hockey team, my brother is going to annoy the hell out of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to be calling, trying to get on.
Was he all into USA versus Canada?
Oh, yeah. No, he's into hockey. Wes is my nephew is a really good hockey player.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, so my brother didn't grow up with hockey at all, but now he's full bore into it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, it's big in Colorado.
And he's in complete disbelief that we don't talk a boatload of hockey in Houston.
Team. Wait, who, your brother or your nephew?
My brother.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Wes doesn't care. Wes just wants to play hockey.
But we need him in the demo. He's going to be a future demographic listener of ours. We got to get him in.
We got to get Wes on the squad.
We got to get him on
if
the
they
squad.
Don't, if they're not going to sign my nephew to a futures contract, they don't even, I don't even know if they're
Thank
trying
you.
To win.
Thank you.
Come on, Houston, whatever we're going to call you.
Here was Joe Espada on Pedro Leon today.
Leon is going to get an MRI here done today for that left knee. He slid during his outfield drills yesterday. So we are not concerned. You know, the testing here was good, but we're just going to make sure that that's good to go.
All right. I mean, he's another guy. Like, there are no sacred cows in that outfield other than Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
You know, like, who's ironically, he's the only sacred cow in the outfield, and he has yet to play a game in the outfield for the Astros in any recent point. I don't know.
No, and there's I mean, the outfield, look, Chaz is competing with five different dudes.
Yeah, man.
And one of them, DiZenzo, who my dream of being able to call him DH, DiZenzo, like spelling it DH, DiZenzo.
Oh, the DH at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. Like first, he's got to show that he can actually
hit. He can hit, not
strike out like 35%
That'd
of the time.
Good,
that's
yeah.
That's I mean, one of the big things.
I'm in love with your gimmick and everything, but him hitting would be a key. That would be a big key.
Both Bryce Matthews and DiZenzo, they've got to learn to have better judgment at the plate.
Here was Joe Espada. So Joe Espada this morning. Big thanks to Adam Spolane for getting this audio for us. Spo is down here with us in West Palm Beach all week long. Here's Joe Espada on what he's seen from Bryce Matthews so far.
I went to Puerto Rico and just wanted to see how, you know, that was going to go, and it went really well. I think Bryce sees an opportunity here for him. These kids see the landscape, right? They see what's out there, and they see that we're going to give some opportunities to young players. For us to continue to win, we need some of these young players to come up and help us sustain our winning culture. So he's one of those guys that we're counting on.
Yeah, it did have to be kind of a kick in the junk to be a young guy coming to Astros spring training, like 4 or 5 years
back
ago.
Back in the day, where he's like, oh, I'm just here at some fantasy camp for me. Like, okay, cool.
I'm going to get as many autographs as I can.
It's like when you go to one of those showcases or something, you realize that, like, oh, they just took my money.
Yeah,
they're just like, hey.
Yeah.
spend $5,000, and scouts, professional scouts will watch you. So like, guys are professional. They were at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to get as many selfies as I can.
This is the one. I wanted to be sure I got the names right.
Okay.
This is where I feel like the Astros are just messing with Pope Zaza's frazzled brain. So McCormick is the starter in right field for now.
Yep.
The spot has said that he's not going to have as long a leash as he had last year at the plate. But he's being pushed by Taylor Trammell, Ben Gamel, and Cooper Hummel. I can't keep these old straight. I'm gonna put them in a tunnel and pummel them into rubble.
This is the baseball version of Nico, DeNico, and D'Amico.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're screwed. is it again?
We're not gonna Taylor Trammell, Ben Gamel, and Cooper Hummel.
Well, they won't all make the team.
No,
but if two of them do, it's going to be a little.
Trammell's injured right now, right?
Is he? Yeah. They picked him up this offseason. Oh, dude, that's a Seth Payne nightmare right there.
if all those guys were active,
they all make
rotating
team.
In.
Dude,
if
that's the outfield one day,
something.
Left, center, and right,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You're going to call in sick the next day. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday here. We're live in West Palm Beach, exclusive furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors, bringing you all of this greatness all week long here in West Palm Beach. We appreciate them very much for that. Up next, Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle. He is is he in Indianapolis for the Combine? I think he may be.
Probably.
He's got a piece, though, up in the Chronicle right
now.
That's
his way.
About big questions facing the Texans at the Combine, and they're not just college players. There's a lot, as we know from Nick Caserio, there's a lot that goes on at the Combine that is not necessarily draft-related. What are the big questions for the Texans? We'll discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
A couple people asking, what would the Astros have to trade to get Nolan Arenado in the building? This is just my gut. It doesn't feel like there's a huge market for him right now. You know what I mean?
It feels like there'd be a bit of a dump by St. Louis,
yeah,
trying to clear the deck.
Getting rid of some salary. I mean, prospects. No, but I don't think anybody off the big league roster.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd be any of these guys that we're talking about, at least that haven't been, you know, like the Bryce Matthews of the world, the, you know, Cam Smith, like guys like that are high-level prospects. I don't think it would be one of those guys.
My nephew Wes wasn't listening when we ended up talking about what my brother had said.
Yeah.
Because Arenado had been my nephew's favorite player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So they weren't he'd been dropped off at school by the time we started talking about how Arenado might be a bit of a headache.
So this isn't the same nephew, though, that Bill O'Brien gave.
No, that was a different nephew.
That's what I thought.
He's doing fine now. He recovered from Bill O'Brien, the GM, from William O'Brien.
Diabetes.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the very real thing that happened was that the day that DeAndre Hopkins trade was announced, or at least reported, my nephew Ryan went into a diabetic coma. He didn't even know he had diabetes.
Right.
He had to get airlifted to Buffalo.
Wow.
from their little town up
Did
there.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like life.
All because
like
William
helicopter?
O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow.
Destroyed his pancreas is what they did.
Yep.
Is what he did.
You hear stories all the time about that when trades destroy people's pancreases.
It was probably just coincidental, but I will always blame him for that.
Yeah. That's why not?
But Ryan's doing great.
Good.
Wes as well. For anybody that was concerned about any of my nephews, they're all doing great.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so Jonathan Alexander has a piece in the Chronicle here. He's headed to Indianapolis. The NFL Combine, obviously, is going on this week. The first few days are just the interviews and the press conferences. And by the way, D'Amico Ryan's tomorrow, 12:15 Houston time. Nick Caserio Wednesday, 12:15 Houston time. The reason I'm saying Houston time is because Seth and I are in West Palm Beach right now covering spring training for the Astros. With the Astros, covering the Astros. So the combine, the workouts get started on Thursday this week. Jonathan Alexander has five questions that surround the combine. First one, is re-signing Diggs realistic? You and I are both hoping it is.
Yeah.
You and I, sorry, I'm coughing.
You're having
right
some
now.
Respiratory issues. Sorry, I just sat there and let you hack
cold.
Up a lung
while
I just
sat. I've been battling a cold all weekend.
I sat
yeah.
silent. I'm sorry. I can yeah. hear you coughing,
yeah.
so I assume everybody else can,
yeah.
too.
No,
that wasn't dead air. That
I'm
was
muted.
Sean. It was dead air because Sean was about
I'm muted.
To die.
I got a scratchy throat.
So is re-signing Diggs realistic? That's interesting. I guess it's not improper to say the phrase re-signing. It's just it's going to be weird because he's a free agent. He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
I think there's somebody out there that's probably got more cap space, like a Washington Commanders perhaps, or Commanders are the one that really jump out, that might want to bring in Stephon Diggs for the same reason the Texans wanted to bring in a veteran wide receiver to work in with your young quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Commanders can say, look, okay, there's a risk because of his ACL, but we can take that risk. We really want Diggs here. And Diggs was a model citizen while he was here. There's no drama or anything else like that. And I think if Diggs – we have to think about this, Sean, objectively – if you're Stephon Diggs and all things being equal, the Texans and the Commanders offer you the same contract, what looks more appetizing right now?
Texans. Mm-hmm. Texans. The Commanders, for a couple reasons. One, familiarity.
Yeah.
He knows what's in the building. Jaden Daniels had an amazing rookie year. I don't see a major difference with Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud. I think I can make an argument I'd rather have C.J. Stroud than Jaden Daniels for a variety of reasons, including Jaden Daniels has a bird frame.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to hold up physically over time. I would say, too, that the path to at least get into the postseason, you're not dealing with the current Super Bowl champions being in your division for the next few years.
Yeah.
The Texans are going to should own the AFC South for the next few years.
I guess my only question would be, all right, you saw what they were able to do with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. Nick Caley is an unknown. And
yep.
So the Commanders were the fifth scoring offense in football last year.
Yeah.
The Texans were down in the bottom half.
Yep.
And he doesn't know who Nick Caley is. That's the part that I wonder if he just feels like, okay, if I want to really shine as a receiver, then Washington is the place for me. I don't know.
Totally fair. I think it's a really, really good question. I would say Texans, perfect argument on the other side for Washington. Hey, by the way, big shout out to Jonathan Alexander. You know what he does, Seth? Attribution in his in his article here.
Yeah.
Unlike some writers who won't cite interviews from a while ago on Sports Radio 610, right on first paragraph, is re-signing Diggs realistic? Talked about how D'Amico was pretty close to the vest talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Caserio was a little more open about the topic on his recent appearance with Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has the quote in there and everything. All right, that's Diggs is the first question. Could the Texans make a trade before the draft? They did last year.
Yeah.
That's Jonathan's second question. I hope they do, and I hope they trade back. I hope they accumulate some picks in that 20 – you know, the late 20s. I hope they trade 25, move back, stay in the first round maybe, but pick up an extra pick or two.
So the trade could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be for an active player or anything. You're just trading within the draft.
Could they make a trade before the draft?
I would have to say it's probably the favorite.
The Diggs trade was before the draft.
Right. But I'm saying, but it also can be, whether it's a Diggs type trade or if it's just simply a pick swap at some point.
Either of them.
I would say it's probably more likely than not the way Nick operates.
Yes, I think that's a big thing, the way Nick operates.
And some of that, especially because you don't know exactly where the players that you're targeting or who even the players you might want to target are until after you go through free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So if they end up signing a wide receiver, they sign an interior offensive lineman, then all of a sudden you start to get a little bit more clarity about, all right, well, look, let's say hypothetically they sign an offensive lineman. Then I think that an interior offensive lineman. I think then they might start thinking like, all right, well, these wide receivers that we like, they're probably going to be some good ones at the back end of the first round, mm-hmm. Or the top part of the second round. And he might want to trade back at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also, it might work out that way with all three positions that we think of as needs. Defensive tackle, wide receiver, and offensive line, especially interior offensive line. Those are some – they look like they get kind of heavy in the back half of the first round. I want to have a first-round pick.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know.
It was less fun last year.
Yeah. And even though – look, it ended up working out really well. Kamari Lasser played way better than a lot of first-round picks.
Sure did.
But I'm being very short-sighted and selfish here. It's fun to have a first-round pick.
It is. It's just fun. Yeah, that's okay. I think a lot of people listening would agree with that. Third question Jonathan Alexander has. How can the Texans better protect Stroud? We may need more than the 4 minutes left in this segment to talk about
yeah.
that.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing. The crop of free agent interior offensive linemen is pretty deep. Guys that can be viable starters. I know Trey Smith is kind of the cream of the crop. My appetite for him is less and less just because I don't want to be in the business of spending a boatload of money to this already bloated payroll on the offensive line yeah. for an interior offensive lineman when what you really need on any good offensive line
is
solid dudes. If you could have five solid offensive linemen,
yep.
that beats having three all pros and two bums any day of the week. And there's in that article earlier that we read by the Bill Barnwell, there's like five or six guys that are just solid starter interior offensive linemen, and I'd rather go with one of those guys.
I hope that whoever it is, I'd rather have an average guy who affects the attitude in the offensive line room
yeah.
than an elite guy who maybe doesn't have, you know, sort of transformative is probably overstating it, but like a residual effect of also raising maybe just the professionalism of that room.
Right, right. Know? And I told the story earlier about when we had a defensive coordinator 1 year when I was in Jacksonville who just flat out didn't know what he was doing. The assistants, you could see the frustration on their faces from week to week as they're being run by a coordinator that's just not built to be an NFL defensive coordinator. And I think that's – I have to guess that might have been what was going on with Bobby Slowik this year, and that's why so many of the assistant coaches were retained, that a lot of it is sometimes the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator – just by the virtue of the way they're operating and designing plays and pass protections, it's really hard for anybody to do their job well. And the fact that Bobby Slowik was pretty much the only guy that was fired, Chris Strausser, the O-line coach, had wanted to retire before the year anyway, it makes me feel better that, okay, some of this can just simply be if Nick Caley is a capable offensive coordinator, and he is a guy that's worked in pass protection with the offensive line, that alone might be enough to make it a lot better, at least closer to what it was his rookie year.
Yep. This question from Jonathan is something that I think we're going to start to get answers on pretty soon. Where will the Texans save money and how will it eventually affect free agency?
Yeah.
This is kind of the season that gets a little lost in the shuffle because you got combine at end of February, early March. You got free agency middle of March. You got the draft in April. This in between combine, you know, the first 2 weeks of March leading up to free agency is cut and restructure season. And the Texans have no choice but to be active in that right now.
Yeah, and there's going to be some guys that they have to restructure. Even just assign a lot of their more journeyman type of free agents that they might want to back.
Yep.
Mario Edwards, Foley Fadakasi, guys like that. You might have to restructure some of the other guys that are on the team.
Yep. Last one, where will Titus Howard play? He says this is a yearly question for the Texans.
Except this is the first year in which it seems that Titus Howard might actually embrace a move to guard.
Seems like it.
Which matters. Because
yes.
It's not like he's been a good guard previously when they've moved there. This year, especially at the end of the year, we saw from the final regular season game on into the playoffs, we saw some nice drives where the center and Titus Howard, Jared Patterson and Titus Howard were, and with Laremy Tunsil, were getting some really good push. Like, push against the defensive line that we really hadn't seen much of this year. And Titus Howard being a big athletic body in there, if he genuinely embraces it, I think he could end up being a really solid guard.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. We'll talk to the guys back in the studio on In the Loop. I am anxious to get John Lopez's answer to our question earlier after the Steve Smith story that we told. The Steve Smith senior story of him having the affair with the Ravens marching band dancer.
Yeah, we asked which Houston athlete would you be most forgiving of if he had an affair with your wife.
Right.
Yeah.
And which one would you be most angry with as well.
Yeah.
So either one. I'm anxious to see if who Lopez goes with in that realm.
So I'm right now currently I'm with Derek Stingley, Jose Altuve, and Yordan Alvarez.
You got a long list of people you let Brandy get freaky with, man.
Turns out I'm a swinger.
Yeah.
A very specific type of swinger.
You just want to be Eskimo brothers.
They have to be lovable and very competent professional athletes.
That's right.
If that's it, anything goes.
Seth has a type. All right, so we'll talk to the guys on In the Loop at the top of the hour about that. If you want to continue to text in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, you can do that. Hey, more from Joe Espada. Out at spring training today. Big thanks to Adam Spolane. Big day, one of several big days moving forward for these two particular Astros. I know some of you are going to get a little irritated when I bring up at least one of the names, but an update on two key Astros potentially for this season from Joe Espada. That is coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You want to get the most for your money? Well, that's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $199 a month, or buy and get 0.9 APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SM809245. MSRP 26940. Ends 2/28/25.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, there will be no baseball today here in West Palm Beach.
Boo.
Mother Nature.
Come on, Dykin. Put a roof over it.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's go. Yeah, no, game rained out today between the Marlins and the Astros.
I blame the Nationals.
I don't think they're going to make it up.
I blame the Nationals. I think the Nationals probably, the Astros probably like, hey, should we put a roof over this? You know, it's worked out well in Houston. The Nationals are like, no, we don't need a stinking roof.
We're bad roommates. Yeah. Nope. We know it'd be best.
For those of you who don't know, they share the ballpark with
they do indeed.
Washington. But it's weird. When you're there, you would never know it.
Mm-mm.
It's amazing that they keep it so separate. It never feels like you're – it's not like the Meadowlands where – you can see the sign, and it's a cool environment.
It's great. If you've never come down here to spring training before, it's awesome. It is a lot of fun. So, Joe Espada did meet with the media this morning, however, and he talked about a few of the players. McCullers. Now, I don't know if this is still happening or not, if the game got rained out, but I would imagine they can find a dry place to throw a bullpen. Here's the latest update on Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia.
McCullers and Garcia will throw their sides today. Hopefully we could do them here, but if not, we're going to be doing them in the cages. And next step for McCullers would be throw a live BP, so I'm excited to see that.
Oh, Lance is getting close, man.
Live BP.
Live BP is a big step, dude.
Whoa.
Big step.
All right, okay.
Are you going to allow yourself to get excited about Lance? You like Lance.
I can't. Sean, you know I don't have any restraint or self-discipline.
I know. That's why I'm egging you on.
All right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to allow myself to get excited.
Me too.
And then I'm going to get angry at the people that are criticizing me for being excited. It's going to be a whole death spiral to the point where Lance is going to be pitching in the middle of an all-star season, at the end of an all-star season, in game three of the World Series, and somehow I'm going to be angry at the world because I'll be both mad at the people that said it would never happen, but also the people that claimed that I was stupid for wanting
during
to happen.
Game three of the World Series would get petty enough to go after the people that came after you.
Yes. Forever that. Even putting out there is a possibility that Lance McCullers might come back. But I can get excited about the idea of it. And, I mean, the fun part of it would be if Lance comes out and he starts at some point early in the season and he's doing well. You're going to be tense every single – there's not – the entire year long, you're never going to feel super comfortable that it's for real.
This is something – like if I were in Seattle or in Arlington and I rooted for either of those two teams, you know, the two teams that are right there within percentage points on FanGraphs of the Astros, you know, like these three – if you're not following it, the analytics, the percentages, the sites that forecast and run simulations of the season, they basically view the Rangers, Mariners, and Astros as the same teams right now. I'm guessing they're not factoring in a returning Lance McCullers into that.
Yeah.
If I were in Texas or Seattle, like that is something I would monitor and keep an eye on.
The pitching depth chart right now, and again, this is – I always caution against saying anything where there's multiple ifs attached to it.
Yeah.
But I think there's so many ifs on the pitching staff in a good way that you are still – I mean, obviously not all these guys will be healthy. We've known that. But just going down the names, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, Hayden Wisniewski, another big guy I should have mentioned earlier that I'm excited to watch. Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Christian Javier. That alone right there with a modicum of health, if you can get five of those guys to stay healthy.
Yeah, man.
Or if you have any five of those guys at any given time healthy during the season, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about getting a more consistent version of Ronel Blanco. I think Spencer Arrighetti can be a credible starter at least, and we'll see where the development takes him. Luis Garcia, it's just a matter of when he's healthy enough, and then I feel very good about that. And then beyond that, you still have Ryan Gusto looked great the other day. I mean, that's a – this is the Astros, though. There's plenty of
ten
examples of
pitchers,
like, hey, Ryan Gusto looked great, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, 2 years later, he's in the Cy Young conversation.
Yeah.
So it's not outside the realm of possibilities.
Yep.
And J.P. France still waiting in the wings. He has a long injury ordeal there. But, I mean, it is – they're loaded – they're loaded with guys
with
that you can feel good about or that have genuinely high potential.
Yeah, the McCullers and Garcia, I'm allowing myself to get there, especially with Lance. If he's throwing live BP next week, he's getting closer and closer. Javier's the one that when you see all the reports of the list, it's like, and he could be back by July or August. It's like,
But Javier's a guy that I too feel like, okay, as long as things are going well and he can come in the back half of the season, Javier's always been a guy where you wonder how much should you be using him as a full-time starter anyway, that it could be a nice jackknife to have or a Swiss Army knife to have in the back half of the season.
It could. I'm just not counting on him just based on how it's gone with all the other Tommy John guys. We were saying the same things about Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers last year. Neither of them came back.
Yeah.
You know, like it just feels aggressive. Now, Javier, of all these guys, like if we're taking like the peak of what each of these guys looked like healthy, like nobody was better than second half of the season 2022 Christian Javier.
Yeah.
Out of all these guys, out of all these potential, returning health issue guys. Second half of the season, Javier in 2022 was elite.
But I think that's the big thing with Javier was that was also the year where he kind of eased into being a full-time starter.
Yeah.
And then the next year he had 100. So he pitched 148 and two-thirds innings that year.
Yeah.
The next year he pitches 162 innings and he's got a 4.56 ERA.
Pitched in World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, like I don't know. I just don't know if Javier is cut out to be a full-time starter.
Yeah. I wish he
Which
were.
Is fine because, well, it's not fine for this year probably, but if he ends up being a reliever, those guys are great too.
They are. I mean, you're paying him to be a starter. He signed that contract. Well, I say you're paying him to be a starter. I mean, he's only making $1 million more than you were paying Rafael Montero to be horrible the last couple years.
Yeah.
So you're not paying him Garrett Cole money or anything like that, for sure.
Javier is one of the rare Astros pitchers that's been around for five seasons and is still actually relatively young, as opposed to guys like where you're like with Ronald Blanco, yeah, he's young, right? No, he's like 48. Framber's young, right? No, he's collecting Social Security.
Framber's like 32, right?
Yeah.
Framber's definitely
I think Ronald's 31.
Still.
Because they've signed so many Latin players that were older. Javier's the rare pitcher that actually is still relatively young, despite having been around for five seasons on the Astros.
Here was Joe Espada with an update earlier this morning on Hunter Brown.
He's got a little bit of fire in his eyes this year. I'm excited where he's at. This kid can, you know, we all know that this guy is ready to be an ace, and we expect him to be one of our aces in our rotation.
Dude, yeah, we get Hunter Brown. We get 2024 Hunter Brown to start the season. That'd be pretty badass.
And it was supposed to be Arrighetti today.
Blanco was supposed to be.
Excuse me, yeah. Blanco.
Yeah, Arrighetti
that's
was yesterday.
Right. Yeah, we already had Arrighetti.
Yep.
Hunter Brown, it's weird. We haven't even talked about Hunter Brown much.
No.
As far as things to get excited about and everything. But I think starting to look at him as an actual veteran and not one of the guys that's a matter of intrigue. It's like, okay, you're hoping that Spencer Arrighetti can get up into that Hunter Brown caliber of consistency.
Hunter Brown, it'll be disappointing if Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez are not in the All-Star conversation in June and July. Conversation. They don't have to make the team, but be like Blanco was last year, you know, just in the conversation. I think the fellas are in studio right now. What's up, boys?
Yo, what's happening, fellas? How we living?
Hey, can you turn them up a little bit? There, yeah, there we go. All right, talk again.
Hello, hello.
Howdy.
That's better. That's much better, yeah. How you guys doing?
Terrific. It's nice to be in your chair, but I miss you.
Oh, you don't have to wait for me to get the hell out of there.
I'm very compliant that way.
That's good. You've never made a big deal out of it. You've never taken me to HR over it or anything like that. I appreciate that. Did you guys hear the question that we posed to the audience earlier today by any chance?
Pertaining to the social media news that happened this weekend?
Way to put it.
We were asking if there was a Houston area athlete. If you found out your wife had an affair, which Houston area athlete would you be most forgiving of that athlete, and which athlete would you just want to probably murder? So for me, my answer was Jose Altuve. I would forgive Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
If anything, I would apologize to him for being a part of adding a distraction to his life.
For me, it would be anyone but Framber Valdez.
Wait, why is that?
Because she likes Framber for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need any relationships here, man. I don't need
You'd be worried about actually losing your wife full time.
So you're concerned with reconciliation.
Yes. Altuve, that's a great pick. But Framber, for some reason.
Not La Grasa.
And you know why? It's even worse. It gets even worse. Because she's watching. We go to games and stuff. And we like to sit out in right field watching him warm up before the game, all that stuff. She just says, he just seems so nice. He seems like a nice young man. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need any.
Fromber? Fromber doesn't seem like an a-hole or anything like that, but I don't look at Fromber and go, like, he just looks like such a sweetheart.
No, she says she has a sweet face.
That's like, I feel like Dubon has a sweet face. Dubon's the kind of guy, like, if Dubon came over to take your daughter to prom, you'd be like, ah, yes. this kid's all right. Yes. Yeah.
But not your wife.
Yeah.
No. Be a serious Mrs. Robinson thing going on if it were Dubon.
Taking my wife to prom, yeah.
Yeah. I figured for sure there'd be some Aggie that you'd be totally cool with.
Wow. Let's see. Who would it be? Mike
dream?
Evans. Hell of a guy.
Mike Evans. Johnny Manziel. Johnny Lopez. You can never go back after it's been Johnny Manziel.
That's right.
I feel like the one I'd be cool with is Danielle Hunter, because what other option would you have? You know what I mean? Like, if Danielle Hunter says that this is where he's trying to be, then that's what am I going to do to change that?
Yeah. Is he the most terrifying athlete in Houston right now?
I don't think he's. You guys, you're at least you, Sean, and what's her name, the one that interviewed him. You talk about how scary he is.
Kate Adams,
scary.
Yeah.
He's got an incredible physique, but he's like the nicest, soft-spoken guy in the world.
But he's very serious.
And that's what makes
scary
it worse. If he decides that he wants to infringe on this territory with how nice he is, that means that he has considered the circumstances.
Scary is a threat to your spouse, sure. Like, as far as somebody that you're spouse might covet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like being around Danielle Hunter, there's no part of me that's like, oh, this guy's about to go crazy and beat the crap out of everybody.
No, that's true. It's just
you're also how
like
tall again, Seth?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm
I know,
used to being around
guys.
Seth
projects all of his levels of fear on little people like me. Seth could actually come to blows and maybe land a few. I'd get squashed like a grape.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I like your rationale behind the whole Danielle Hunter thing. We got rained out today, boys.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do with all this extra time, fellas?
Probably grind on tape, you know, probably get some Astros film and, you know, at least, you know, get some good film time in on the Astros.
That sounds decidedly not as dramatic as New Orleans. It feels like you're missing the rest of us.
With a little bit. We were talking about that earlier. I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but, like, if we were rating the 10 people that went to New Orleans just based on social life, like getting out, running around, this is like a spring training game. We're probably missing like our top four guys.
That's
right?
True, yeah. Like all the report.
I will say, I was watching, I had it on YouTube this morning in my office. Y'all look like you have some nice digs there, man.
Dude, it's so nice.
Yeah. It's a little too nice. I don't want to leave. We'll go swimming later.
I'm not happy the game got rained out today, but if we have to be hunkered down somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good spot. It's got four man cave seats with the recliner pullout and the drink holders.
Man.
Big TV. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, man.
Are you guys even going to go out for dinner, or is this going to be like a
we bought a bunch
delivery?
Of food yesterday. I
oh,
don't know.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
So you guys are just going to be in the house.
I'm going to see. We were talking yesterday. I'm not sure if they have a Taco Bell in South Florida, but I'll see. There might
fine dining. It sounds
fine dining. Yeah, man. No, it's nice. We got a pool. Mm-hmm. We got a pool and a pond, actually.
A lake, Sean. We're on a string of lakes here. I've asked you 8 times to look at the map. the lake connects to all these other lakes. We can take that paddleboard and have ourselves a journey.
You can.
Oh, come on,
There's
Sean.
There's warning signs of alligators out there.
They're fine as long as you don't fall in on top of them. So just stay on the paddleboard.
I'm worried about falling in.
Remember, if a gator starts coming at you, remember zigzags. They don't do turns.
Right. They don't have good change of direction.
That's great advice.
They're like
on
Hollywood
land.
Brown.
That's great advice on land. Yeah. It was like, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead with all my freaking swimming skills. I'll go Michael Phelps my way into a zigzag pattern.
Straight line speed. Yeah. Swimming back and forth.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, hey, what's the question of the day on y'all's show?
Oh, we got you. And let's see if we can get an answer from you
real
quick.
In fact, you should probably understand the genesis of this because you were a part of this text chain. But what's the least macho thing?
The least macho thing you do, based on the text exchange and conversation we had via all the candles that that Reggie and Figgy and people have.
I'm big into lotions. I like lotions that smell
man.
Good. Yeah, I'm huge into lotions.
I can see that, though. Yeah. That's nice.
Seth's looking at me with a gigantic grin on his face right now.
I could see that.
As if to say, yep, yeah. lotion
like
boy.
Creepy guy that has a trench coat full of lotion.
Like, literally, I'm walking next to Amy, am walking next to Amy, like in the grocery store or pharmacy or wherever. I'm like, I need some better smelling lotions. Where are they? Yeah. I'm serious. I do. Yeah.
You know what it is for me? I sit this way that I do now with my legs crossed.
You do that. It's very
so
effeminate.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel, I love it. But then I was I was watching a high school basketball game a few weeks ago, and one of the kids on the bench was sitting like an old man.
Yeah.
Like middle-aged men do.
Yeah.
We sit like this.
Yes.
And one of the kids was like, what the hell's wrong with that kid?
That's impressive that you can sit that way, though.
You're talking about the feminine cross.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, it's not ankle on top of other knee.
Yeah.
It's back of the thigh on top of other knee.
It's intellectual. It's I'm pondering things whatnot.
Well, you do ponder things. I'll give you that.
Okay, I've got a couple more. So I'm very tempted. Anytime Amy bought me these hoodies that have a little thumb hole in them that you can stick your thumb through, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm very tempted to. But I actually bounced this off of Seth one day. I'm like, does it look effeminate if I stick my thumb through this hole right?
I do that. I do that on those ones that has the SPF when I'm fishing, so you don't get sunburned.
Yeah, I don't think that's just functional.
Yeah.
Okay, it kind of looks effeminate, though. I bounced this off of women who also have that, and they've agreed.
It's a little effeminate
to stick your thumb through that. Yeah,
but they see, you know what? They see Danielle Hunter in a yoga outfit and his thumbs through it. They're not going to be slowed down.
Exactly.
They're not like, oh, so effeminate.
Right.
Real men risk melanoma. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the way that we go about this.
I also listen to The Blend on Sirius XM sometimes.
Oh,
that's
wow.
It's pretty effeminate. Yeah. That's a lot of...
Oh, that's true, yeah. I like
Carole King and the Carpenters and things like that. Yeah, you know.
I like this, like all these little whiny voiced indie punk band, like acoustic punk, singer songwriter type of.
I love Wham. Is that effeminate?
No,
I don't think so.
Everybody loves Wham.
Okay, we're all good. All right, just checking.
And just to cap this out, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line from the 832, least macho thing I do is text sports radio with which athletes I'd allow my wife to sleep with.
Yes, there you go.
I didn't say allow. I said which one I would forgive. One of the most manly things you can do is to forgive the dude that messed around with your girlfriend or something, because that's just kind of acknowledging that guys are guys.
All right.
And you're like, all right.
I think it's more mainly to beat the crap out.
No, I had a friend once when he was in college, he ended up hooking up with this girl one night and he didn't realize that she had a boyfriend. And he realized afterwards that this kid was a quarterback, and the kid that her boyfriend was a quarterback from another college.
Ooh. Oh, really?
And when she went to the bathroom, he like texted the dude. He's like, hey man, I'm really, really sorry. I had no idea, but I felt you should know. And then he left.
Oh,
and that was so I always felt like, man, that's a bold move there, man. Like, he felt bad about it, but then the other quarterback's like, yeah, I'm not mad at you, I'm mad at the girl.
That's right.
Like, that's who betrayed you.
Did they play each other? Like, is it...
No, they knew each other from like a camp growing up.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, it's not a bad way to get in the guy's head. Like, oh, by the way, I slept. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but I slept with the girlfriend.
Like slap shot stuff.
Yes, yes. All right, boys. Well, the floor is yours. We appreciate you guys. Have a great show.
Hey, appreciate
you. Thank you, man.
All right, you're listening to KILT. Oh, by the way, Seth, antibodies.
Oh, yeah, antibodies are great release to you.
Yes, thank you. All right, you're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, an Houston. Odyssey sports station. Houston, an Odyssey sports station. Thank you, Reggie.
You're right.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope, while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT, 888-843-6837.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.